Hello there, I'm Tim and he's Barry White and this is episode 82 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Hey, I'm really better.
You're sounding very croaky there, very, very, very bassy.
I know, it's my new radio voice.
Yes, we're on to a topic show this week, because there was no news, because co-host here had the plague or Black Death or something.
I say nothing happened in the news.
Although nothing happened.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth doing a show.
No. Apart from the Warcraft patch and this, that and the other.
Yeah, there were some interesting sales numbers on Uncharted 2. Might have to cover that next week.
Yeah, back to normal next week. Okay, so on with the topic show this week then. I've actually done some work. I've got notes and everything. Look,
huzzah!
6 pages.
So it's amazing what the fear that maybe you're going to have to go on without me does to you.
So settle down, everyone. This might be a long one. I'm calling this one the second M.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Well, this has all came about off of a lot of blogosphere action I saw, not last week, perhaps the week before. I'm guessing it was largely down to the announcement that the Old Republic there is... Well, it's not really an announcement. It was always going to have NPC companions of the Lord of the Rings skirmish variety, Guild Wars-esque.
You pick the game that only added them last week as an example of them in a game.
I didn't pick this stuff. This caused a lot of controversy across various blogs. We'll put some links in the show notes. I mean, I just don't want to... Well, I'm going to have to name names, really, aren't I?
Yes.
Yes, fair enough. Well, Keenan Grave weren't very happy at all about the idea of the Old Republic companions. They think it'll detract from group-based MMO gameplay. Perhaps they might have a point. Sign Kane echoes those comments there as well. Tobold asks, why play MMOs in the first place if you're only going to solo with your
imaginary
henchmen?
I've been asking that question for ages, but I didn't bother asking if you're only going to be soloing then.
Yeah, Ravius at Kill 10 Rats there, he's sort of goes for a bit of a wider picture there and also quotes Jeffrey Stiefel of Lord of the Rings online fame. I haven't got the quote to hand, but we'll put some links for that. But basically, yeah, a lot of talking about the basics, the fundamentals. It's an age-old question. Why do you play MMOs if you only ever solo? Why indeed? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. I'm sure it's a topic we've visited in some degree.
Probably, but
past.
We've got such good names to take a pop at this time. So. Sorry, mention.
Yes.
This is not whoring.
Yeah. So, well, we've got examples of similar kinds of mechanics. It's not just the Old Republic. It's not just BioWare. Although I can see why BioWare would want to focus on their storytelling, essentially. I mean, what's made a lot of their previous titles very memorable and very enjoyable is the interpersonal dramas and interactions with your little team of henchmen that you pick up along the way. So when they come to approach the MMO genre, are they going to want to throw all of that out? Obviously not. So there's going to be some degree of that in the Old Republic, I'd imagine. Not a new thing, though.
I've just had a horrible thought. I've got no idea where this is going.
Yeah, we have to improvise a bit. That's shocking.
And there may be a hacking cough during the entire show.
Yeah, fair enough. So we got the examples with Guild Wars Heroes.
Yep.
Guild Wars always had henchmen, which are sort of totally autonomous NPCs who basically just follow you along and hit what you hit and heal you if you look like you're in trouble. The heroes there have their own little stories as you go through the campaign. They feature quite heavily in some of the action that goes through the story. And also they're very configurable to the point where, yes, you can solo Guild Wars, even though essentially it is a game in which you are never not in a party of 4 or 6 or 8. And yet grouping happens. Lotro, of course, the Siege of Mirkwood, your skirmishes, we got those.
That also,
that's recent.
In our main group, we've got 2 NPC dwarf champions.
That's very cruel. You can, in these new special skirmish instances, we've talked about this lots in previous shows, of course, and I think most people will know how those work, but yeah, you can train up essentially a pet and improve their abilities and solo quite extensively and successfully with those in these instances, gaining XP and loot into the bargain.
And much fun is had by all.
Yeah.
Except the soldier. Who I never get the feeling he enjoys the experience.
Your soldier isn't having fun. My healer, my herbalist loves it, just standing at the back. Healing and
my tank, who's sitting there desperately being healed, doesn't like it as much.
Yeah, We've got DDO, also it has hirelings. For a certain amount of in-game gold, you can buy a temporary use contract. I think if you're standing at the start of an instance, just as you go in, you can use this thing in inventory and it will pull out an NPC who will follow along and heal or fight, or depending on what class you've got. I'm not sure if they can do locks and things, so there's always a role for more. There's always a role for people as well. I've got STO red shirts.
Star Trek Online, they're not red shirts.
No.
They're bridge crew.
Bridge
crew. When you go down to a mission,
yeah,
if you've got three friends,
mm-hmm,
all four of you beam down,
yeah,
as captains.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just you or you don't have enough, you take down bridge crew as your other numbers.
To make up a full team.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you can level them up, give them abilities and stuff.
And presumably, if it's just you and your Todd, you can do that.
Yeah.
The entire party.
Yeah.
So this isn't exactly a new debate or argument, of course, and it's not necessarily new in MMO features either. We've seen examples of this kind of approach being added to MMOs for quite some time. But it's just interesting to see how I suppose it's the Star Wars on the Old Republic stuff, and I suppose recently as well the new sort of warriors and whatnot in Lord of the Rings as well. All sort of. Sort of touch on this kind of topic, and seems to have gotten a lot of people talking, a lot of people quite opinionated, quite entrenched in views about how they see MMOs to work.
Well, I know why they're wrong, so unless you hit the point along the way, remind me at the end, and I will tell you in a way which will demonstrate to them that they're wrong as well.
Well, I don't believe anyone's wrong, and I'm going to explain why. So, on to page 2 of my notes. Right, so what I've done is I've basically sat down and had a thought about how people play MMOs. I've entitled this section The Degrees of M. See, so I'm quite good at this with headings and everything. So, okay, so the first one I picked out is soloing. So we've got soloing or soloing with pets, pets being either NPCs or actual literal animals, whatever.
Well, that's the point. Why would you want to play an MMO if you're just going to use a pet?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, okay, so we've got playing alone. This is the literal definition. No other human bodies around. You're just doing your own thing. And this can be a habitual thing, or it can be a sometimes thing. This is very much, I've written you versus the game here. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I almost never leap into a brand new MMO and instantly LFG.
Oh, me neither.
Just out of character creation.
I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't immediately look for a guild, although you do sometimes see that. In starter zones, in newbie areas, someone will pipe up on OOC or whatever, you know, looking for a guild. It's almost instantly, and there's no sort of caveats there. There's no discernment. They just want a guild straight off the bat, which I think is perhaps strange but understandable. I think perhaps many of these people are alts. They're not brand new to the game, but I see the very first stages in a new game is. It's very much you versus the game. It's you learning the game. It's you learning how to play, let alone how to tank or how to hold aggro in a 25-man raid. First, since you've got the disc out of the box and installed and logged in, you want to get your feet. You want to find out how to walk forward, let alone taunt and tank. So I've written here, important learning phase, and next to that, who groups before level 5?
Socializers.
Well, perhaps, but you'll find that the design of most MMOs rarely, very, very rarely presents you with any kind of group content before, I don't know, level 10 out of 50 in that sort of ratio. I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings, the early Shire quest.
Well, most of these games are power leveling you through the first 10 levels, aren't they?
They're
ramming you up as fast as you can go.
Well,
till...
I'm not sure it's a deliberate thing. I think just the arithmetic of the way levels start.
I think it might be a deliberate thing.
Fast.
They're trying to push you through it so you get a general hang of how to play your class and how the game works.
Because we're definitely in free trial country here as well.
Yeah.
You want a feeling of having got somewhere. One of the big gripes about MMOs is grinding. And if your MMO can demonstrably show right out the gate that you can, yeah, look at that, 12 levels in 2 days, awesome, you know, you get a sense of having got somewhere, having achieved something. But you'll find very little group-based content there. I mean, I'm using the Shire as a particular example in Lord of the Rings Online, but most MMOs are fairly similar. I think there must be a total of about, I don't know, 10 group quests in the Shire out of about 70 or 80 or 90 quests in total. And those are quite tucked out of the way, and they're toward the higher end of the levels. It's clear that you're not expected to immediately six-man up and go for your first monster.
Well, your average player who's never played an MMO before isn't going to know about grouping for a start.
No.
They're going to be completely out of their depth
with
just playing the game.
Yeah, so I think the early stages of anyone's MMO existence are going to be, by necessity, solo. You want to know how the controls work. You don't want to look like an idiot in front of strangers. So by the time you get to like 20s, 30s, whatever, and you start to have a feel for how your character works, how the world works, you know, what's where, how to find places, then you start to encounter group tasks, and you'll find that other people also need a hand, and there'll be a bigger pool of people who want to do that. But I think soloing right at the start is almost the expected way to play, let alone, you know, the way it's facilitated. Okay, I've written drop in 15-20 minutes and then dash time. So I think soloing, certainly at the higher end, is not necessarily a bad thing either, because not everyone has like 4 hours to dedicate of a particular night to a particular MMO. They might want to just pop in and do a few little things. And it's almost rude, I suppose, to volunteer for a pickup group if you know that you're going to disappear within about 5 minutes.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so fitting your play schedule around the time you've got is infinitely easier if there's only you, because you're the only person. You can just hang up and quit any time you like and move off and do whatever else. Whereas if you join a group, then there's a commitment. Usually a group is formed for a specific task, so we're talking like an instance or a dungeon. So you're going to be expected to get all the way through that, you know, for form's sake and politeness, if nothing else. So it's not always easy to find time to group, I suppose. What else have we got? Exploration dash reading the quest text. So another reason you might want to be soloing, and a lot of people do, is to just have a little wander around. You know, activities that literally serve no progressional purpose. You know, you won't gain anything by just seeing what's over that hill, but you might want to have a look anyway.
I get that a lot. I really want to see over that hill.
Yeah, and do you want to drag five other people who possibly already all know what's over that hill and who want to get on with stuff? There's a kind of implied pressure, particularly with pickup groups versus static groups, that you have a job to do and you need to get it done. So you don't want to deviate, you don't want to waste time. And this covers not just exploration of the geographic sense, but tinkering around with game mechanics, experimenting with builds, fiddling about with your paper doll, and yes, reading the quest text. These are all things that you need either a very understanding group for or a best done solo. So there are reasons why you'd want to not necessarily be in a large team, because you want to take the time to smell the flowers, I suppose. And unless you have a... I think static groups are generally better for that, but even so, there is a kind of implied pressure even there.
And by static groups, you, of course, are lumping in with that groups from guilds.
Yeah, I'll come to the various types of groups next, sort of later on. But okay, so also I've written here, sense of over-community. Now, this is quite a nebulous one, but it's one that you often see quoted by people who are staunch, adamant soloists in MMOs as to justify their existence in the world. It's the... Yes, you want to be soloing, but you don't want to be soloing alone. It's the alone together thing. You got a sense of, well, I've written here, market dash AH. There's a definite example there. Is that you have a large pool of resources that you can draw on and a large market for things you've made and so on. I mean, Eve's a particular example for that. Many of the trading activities in Eve are not really 6-man group operations.
They can be, but...
They can be. That's more logistics. But yeah. The business of actually buying and selling is very much a solo...
It's a solo group or a group for a solo guy with minions.
Yeah, you can have a load of people. Here's the cargo, take it here. But one person will be doing the buying and selling, probably making the decisions. And it's not a thing that needs, you know, six players of a balanced class maker.
No. If you do have six players doing it, they are separate, dealing in separate... things.
And they might work as a convoy for protection, but they'll be doing their own trade.
I was thinking, you know, somebody's working in this, somebody's working in that,
yeah.
And they'll have their own areas on the market they're dealing. So they're basically soloing together as a division.
So it's not necessarily grouping in the conventional sense of we're all pulling together to tackle this single objective, but... And yeah, there are quite a few different careers in Eve are more feasible, I suppose, and practical solo than as a group. How does a group invent something? How does a group do exploration? I suppose the exploration is easier.
Inventing the group is the running the pos, getting equipment together. But if you're just doing it on your own, which you can do,
you don't have six spaceships. One of them's a healer. One of them's a tank for this kind of thing.
No,
but. Conversely, if you were playing that as a single-player game, let's just pick X2, for example. That's quite a good single-player game. That just seems a lot less challenging and a lot more lifeless when essentially you are carrying out very similar sorts of games.
But if you're trading,
You need a market.
Trading against real people, which is where the fun comes in.
Yeah.
If you're just analysing numbers and going against the computer,
you need suppliers. It's not quite as fun. Yeah, absolutely. So when the game mechanics themselves don't necessarily dictate basic standard MMO group play, then soloing becomes a normal kind of viable gameplay. And yet, at the same time, you're still part of a larger overriding community. We've got advice/global chat I've written here. Lots of people, when they're soloing, still like to chat on channels. It's like being in a chat room while you're doing your thing. The people in that chat channel with you are not directly playing with you, but at the same time, they're part of the experience that you're playing through. I mean, I suppose it could be argued you could be playing a single-player game and have an MSN window or a chat, some sort of chat room going, but...
It's not quite the same, is it?
Well, also, you're going to focus... The people in this chat room are sharing similar kinds of experiences. So, yes, advice and global chat, literally advice, that does work, because people in there are seeing the same sorts of things, experiencing the same sorts of world.
It's sort of the equivalent of playing Oblivion on the Xbox,
yeah.
Using Xbox Live Party for everyone to chat.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. You'd all be playing a similar sort of game, not directly interacting with each other, but still sharing the experience after a fashion. I've written life here, exclamation mark. Enigmatic, all filler.
You do love your bullet points, which sum up everything.
Absolutely. Life, yes. We haven't got the universe and everything here. But okay, so I've got a few examples here. We've got WoW's early success I've written here. And one of the things that did distinguish Blizzard's monumental success story at the early days from everything else out there was that it was extremely solo-friendly. The group, they were perhaps some of the first people to really go to town and bring... massive appeal to the idea that the grouping is a bonus, not the only way to play. I mean, I remember my early days in EverQuest 1, and it was soloing was possible after a fashion, but you tended to have the impression that the soloing was more an oversight, sort of an accidental thing that had crept in, rather than anything that had been designed at all. What else have I written? Eve, trading, manufacturing, inventorying, scanning. Yeah, we've covered that. And that's another example of large tracts of gameplay in a massively multiplayer online game that are eminently suitable for soloing. So these games are designed with the soloing in mind, so they surely can't be wrong.
Exploration isn't anymore, but...
I see. So, well, that's more about wormhole gangs and...
Yeah. You do your... They nerfed it so far now that you just sort of look in the vague direction of a wormhole and find it now.
I remember the original implementation of it, and that was very much a
I loved
solo
that.
Activity. You could double
it was
up.
Like, it was like submarine warfare.
I've got Guild Wars, Henchies and Heroes. Yeah, covered that as well. Okay, so lots of reasons why you might want to be soloing and why soloing is a good way to play. I've got cons. Though, see, like,
okay.
I do balance, I do objectivity. Okay, so I've written
more than the BBC.
Yeah. So a few reasons why you might think soloing is a bad idea, and might agree. Might as well be playing offline. This is a common thing that's said in discussions of this nature. Why are you playing online? Why are you paying for internet fees, connectivity, whatever? Monthly fee when you've got perhaps a similar game that's got stronger story and better caters to single player gaming that you can just play on Xbox or PC, whatever. You don't necessarily need to be online. What do you think?
I think that that's a rubbish argument, because you could look at it as you're paying for a game which is continually updated through DLC.
There are many other reasons why you'd be paying that money, absolutely. So there are perks that come with that kind of thing. Although this becomes more of a sort of blurry line with modern practices with DLC and patching and console lobbies, PS Home, Xbox 360, whatever.
You're just throwing stuff in now.
No. Diminished pool of groupmates. Now, this is, I think, perhaps more of a subtle reason why many people object to the prevalence of soloing in MMOs is... I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to accuse anyone directly of this, but I think that some people, when they say that soloing is bad and soloers should get out of my MMO, I think many of these people are doing this for somewhat selfish reasons, in that they regard people who are soloing as people who are not available to help me. This is, you know, where most group gameplay requires X number of people pulling together in the same direction to get a more impressive thing.
Of the original names, I want to accuse one of them randomly.
You haven't even read any of those articles. But this idea that if they're not part of my group, they're part of the problem, which I think is perhaps a little short-sighted.
That does happen.
I'm pretty sure this is a motivation for many people's seeming hatred of soloists. When You know, and it's all right, Jack, when I've got a group, but...
I'm organising these groups, yeah. I'm doing all this, why are they not having to do all that?
And I sometimes wonder, actually, when these people make these kinds of protests, is that I sort of wonder, why aren't you playing Guild Wars, where you have seven automata who will follow you precisely, do exactly what you say, and are eminently predictable and often configurable? And it does, I don't know, I don't want to use the word hypocrisy, perhaps there are more genuine concerns in that... Some people like to lead, and if you've got no one following you, that's quite frustrating, I imagine, yeah. But I think there perhaps is a certain truth in diminished pool of groupmates. I mean, if a game becomes intensely solo-friendly to the detriment of group play, then you do start to lose people grouping. The pick-up groups don't form, it just becomes far easier to solo. I think World of Warcraft this does happen to a certain extent, in that... Many people have just played their way from 1 to 60 without really grouping at all. They've tried a few bad pickup groups and had a few nasty experiences and decided it's not worth the hassle. And often, unless the game makes it artificially more difficult to solo than group, the path of least resistance for many people will be to solo their way as far as possible, even up to and including attempting group tasks on your own but over-leveled or whatever. You know, massively twinking and tweaking your character to the point where you can just about do content that's meant for groups. And often that will even be easier than trying to find a decent balanced group of helpful, polite people. What else have I written here? Yeah, frustration at group quests. Yeah, so, yeah, I've preempted myself, look. But... Yeah, so and you see, many games will actually apply XP bonuses for groups, which suggests that the natural inclination of most players will, and the path of least resistance would, without this mathematical clutch, be to just solo everything.
Well, as somebody we know points out, it could be a lot quicker to level by just blatting through lots of solo quests than by dragging the whole group along.
Well, we found this in the Lotro group a bit, yeah. I mean, we tend to...
I wasn't going to mention
it. Oh, not naming names either, but we've been finding that in terms of just gaining pure XP, it is actually quicker to do solo quests, but as a six-man group, because you just insta-kill everything and you can get through them quite quickly. It's the quest rewards, so the big payout. Whereas a night where we've gone off to do a particular instance... You know, tonight's going to be a big dungeon crawl, and we've enjoyed it immensely and had a lot of fun. But in terms of actual XP gain, those nights are generally the quite poor ones, aren't they?
Yes,
we don't gain a lot of XP from a big dungeon crawl.
And they tend to cost a lot on the repair bill.
Well, there are other reasons. But they're fun and activities in themselves, and if you're not that worried about the XP, then that's fine. I've written habit forming ? Here. I've put a question mark, because I'm not entirely sure about the answer to this myself. Do you think that if people... go from 1 to 60, World of Warcraft, for example, never having grouped, when they get to the point where the game suddenly changes to a very much raid and group and guild-based social footing, do you think they are ill-equipped to deal with that when they get there?
I think they're there without certain knowledge that they could have otherwise.
Yeah, well, not so much knowledge, but just the inclination as well. Are they just so used to soloing that they don't really want to or are able to function as members of a group?
Well, that or they avoid it because they've heard such horror stories about the in-game raiding that they just avoid grouping.
Well, often you hear the horror stories and you don't tend to see an equal amount of good stories about how awesome it went. You know, it's always the nightmares that you remember. Okay, so that's my big page on soloing. Let's move on to my next little group. Okay, so I've written... So part two here, the pickup group. This is the traditional six random people who all need a thing done, who will group together to get that thing done.
Yeah.
They generally will be strangers. I mean, you can pick up a group with some people repeatedly and start to remember them, but initially, certainly when you enter the big pool of pickup groups, it's all going to be strangers on the internet. Okay, so I've written shared adversity versus big rewards. So, okay, the pickup grouping's good because it means that you can get stuff done. You can get the big loot, the special items. Typically, the best gear is reserved as payouts for big group quests or finishing instances or whatever. Sometimes, although much less so in modern times, your character's progression itself will require certain tasks completing that require a group. I'm thinking perhaps some of the early Lotro story stuff. If you wanted to follow those story through, you would need a group at certain key points there. And yeah, pretty much any loot, any decent gear that you want to, or farming for tokens in whatever game, you know. I mean, if you can get this magical five other people who all know what they're doing and also all want the same thing, then you're laughing. So I've written meet new people, social! ! So everyone's a stranger before we meet them, aren't they?
Yes, and most of them are afterwards as well.
Yeah, okay, I'm detecting a certain bias here in both of us already. But yeah, the pickup grouping, yeah, if you go into pickup grouping, not everyone you're going to get on with, not everyone's going to know their stuff, not everyone's going to be a good addition to the group, but some people will be, and you can remember those names, you can add them to friends lists. And that's the sort of way that static groups can get started, and
yeah.
Guilds as well. I mean, you can do it two ways. You can either bring a whole group of friends with you into a new game and you all hang out and that's all fine, or you make friends when you're in there. And until you've done a few pickup groups, you've not really got to meet anyone at all. You've just been soloing. So I think it's an important social aspect there. But then that is sort of tempered with the downsides of the pickup group, which I'll come to later.
Okay.
Force multiplier, I've written there. Oh, that's very business strategy. Team management talk there.
Just rather.
Yeah.
Who wrote that for you?
I don't know. They were interesting word shapes that I decided to put together. Force multiplier. Well, basically, we're talking the more than the sum of your parts. Six people soloing in the same direction versus six people working together with often interlocking skills. I've written next here, interlocking skills / counterpart. We're talking the Holy Trinity here. We're talking tank, healer, DPS. You know, there'll be a big list of classes at the start, and some people will pick the one that sounds the coolest, but many people will look at the descriptions and quickly equate them into one of three parts of a greater whole. If you've got the tank and the DPS and the healer all working together, you can take out stuff that's far, far more powerful than just three other solo mobs at the same time.
And then most people just pick the class which is that's going to mean I have to deal with idiots less.
Well,
that could do damage and heal, tick.
Well, no, it's interesting because the design of this Holy Trinity, which is a tradition that's come in from way back when, probably EverQuest, probably predates
it. I think it came from MUDs.
Yeah, possibly. If you'll look at this list and you'll immediately identify which part of this list that class belongs to. And many people will make choices based on that, knowing that they will require two other people to function correctly. And most groups of six will tend to be extended variations on the Trinity, but you will need at least a tank and a healer and someone to do damage if you're going to do any kind of group content in pretty much any MMO. I mean, there are sort of interesting attempts here and there to move away from that basic strategy. I mean, Guild Wars, there isn't tanking in the traditional sense, so you can be a bit more flexible there. But the majority of normal MMOs tend to require at least three people work as an effective single unit to get the comparable other thing done. Take out the elite monster, kill the raid boss, whatever. With a raid, it scales up to 12, 24, whatever. But the basic roles still need doing.
It's the putting the eam in team.
Yeah. Exactly. I've written the fantasy tradition.
Under
there, yes, which is basically, we're talking pretty much every high fantasy novel ever starts with a lone mysterious offspring of the prince, heir to the throne, whatever, discovering that he has a basic generic vanilla warrior type build, and then during the early tenth of the adventure, he picks up a number of companions, each with unique specialised skills, and they won't know each other. That's basic, they're all pickup groups. So certainly with the fantasy genre, this kind of pickup group system is reinforced by the lore. You know, I mean, this is how the great epics work.
It should not be a lore. We've had the one
LORE, not LAW. But yes,
I just want to change.
You don't tend to see a lot of high fantasy about individual lone protagonists just doing their own thing all the way through the story. They'll meet various and interesting, diverse companions. One who can do like crazy things with lightning, and one who can turn invisible, and
one who's possibly slightly evil,
one who will betray him before the end. Yeah, that kind of thing. Who's to fight the books if you're basically trying to create an online game based on that kind of book? It's sci-fi, the parallels are less rigid, but even so, those sci-fi MMOs that we do see turn up tend to be fantasy MMOs, but with spaceships instead of horses.
True.
Let's see then. All right, I've got some examples. Early EverQuest, and I've written solo unfriendly. Yeah, I don't want to go back into my EverQuest flashback coma again, but suffice to say, soloing was quite difficult, and you had to pick. There were two classes that particularly could more or less solo fairly well, and that was Druid and Necromancer, and they were mostly based on kiting, which is more about exploiting oversights in game mechanics than anything else. But apart from that, it was a very group-based game. And not just any group of random six people either. You needed some from this sort, some from the healer type, some from the warrior-y type, some from the wizardy type, that kind of thing. I've written early Guild Wars. Now, the henchmen that were there at launch were very flaky and had fixed builds, so you tended to sort of... you tended to have to do quite a bit of pickup grouping, because many of the missions at that very early stage were very difficult and actually needed people with thinking minds.
So back then they were just sort of a
they were
token
a prop
thing.
Rather than a gameplay as such. Yeah, exactly. You could fill out your missing sixth slot with one, but you wouldn't want a party made up entirely of them and just you. So there was a lot of pickup grouping that had to go on in early Guild Wars to get through certain particular missions that were designed in ways that required you to split your team to do different things, which the henchmen just weren't up to. Modern Guild Wars is better because the heroes are a lot more powerful and flexible, and also you have a new flagging system where you can actually drop flags and make them go places and do stuff. I've written Public Quests War, and I've written Subtle! Exclamation mark here. Now, there's an interesting example, because you don't actually need to group, but at the same time...
It does group you.
Well, kind of, yeah. You're all there working on the same job, and you're all counting toward the same objective. So even though you don't actually click the accept and invite group buttons that much, although it does happen, you're still effectively working as a team against a common objective with random strangers. And those can be quite hit and miss, as I've discovered in recent weeks. You get many people will just solo the stage one bit just to increment their influence, with no real hope of it going further.
When I've played, I've never got past stage one, because there's never anyone around to do stages two, three, or however many there are, because I don't know, there's never anyone around.
There's usually three stages. Stage one is just a whole bunch of soloing that everyone does. Then stage two will start introducing champion grade monsters, which will need three or four people working together to take down, or one very, very high level person who shouldn't be there. And then stage three will be one single hero boss, and that will generally need about five or six or seven people to take it out properly. But it depends how overleveled you are on gear and all the rest of it. It's a lot more flexible. That's why I've written Subtle. It's not your standard pickup group situation, but multiple people of very, very unfamiliar previous acquaintance generally come together to get a thing done. Okay, so let's all move on to the cons for the pickup group section then. Right, I've written idiots. Simple one word there.
Yeah.
You cannot read anyone's blog or go anywhere on the MMO-sphere. So too many O's in there.
Too many M's as well.
Without hearing a horror story about a pickup group. So-and-so ninja looted the item and disappeared. So-and-so didn't heal when he was supposed to. Seeing a lot of it lately with Warcraft's recent patch, where they've added this kind of, I don't know...
Uber pickup groups!
It's sort of Uber meeting stone, anywhere you are, instant teleport to mission. A bit like join sessions in the skirmishes. I don't know, but...
Is that the one that pulls you across servers as well?
Yeah, apparently it's just sort of on the verge of turning World of Warcraft into a sort of Battle.net-style lobby for dungeon instances.
Turning it into a Guild Wars-style multiple-instance, big one single world.
I don't want to start off on Warcraft extensively here, but the point is that you're getting a lot more recent posts from all sorts of people about how the pickup groups suddenly work or don't work. And again, it's the same old stories. It's always their fault. It's always they left first. Very few people want to admit that they were the weak link in a pickup group. You don't see many posts like that. I was an idiot. I totally annoyed these other four people. Whoops. You know.
I'm so starting that blog.
Yeah, John's pickup group experiences. I think there's a market there. But yeah, there's a number of pressures that contribute to this. For starters, it's a novelty. You don't know these people. You've got to look like you know what you're doing. You've got to put your best foot forward. You don't want to admit to defeat. You don't want to admit to weaknesses or mistakes. So you just sit there in silence. And if it does all go wrong and everyone starts ganging up on you, you just rage quit and disappear, because you're never going to see these people again. So...
It
takes a real effort of...
In WoW, especially now, because there could be one of 100-odd servers, however many there are.
You may literally never see that person again, yeah. But it takes a certain amount of, I don't know, presence, self-confidence, and a certain degree of humility to be a good and productive and helpful pickup group member. And that does take a bit of extra effort when you could just disappear, you know. If it's all gone wrong, just keep re-rolling that pick-me-up group button until eventually you luckily fall in with five people who know what they're doing and go all the way, you know. But, yeah... There's always a bad apple, and yes, just like I said earlier, you remember the bad ones. You don't tend to remember the good ones so much. It's, you know, the most interesting and rolling eyes anecdotes come from the real nightmare pickup groups. Oh, look at that idiot. Isn't he an idiot? You know? What else have I written here? Cons. Goal-driven, not people-driven. Oh, more management speak there, I think.
Okay.
This is basically the point of your group is to achieve a fixed objective, kill so and so, get this loot, tick off that quest. The point of the group in pickup grouping is rarely the I want to just meet five new people and get to know them. I don't think that's generally why many people do pickup grouping.
When you were doing that bit on your blog with the pickup group review.
That's a while ago, I've forgotten. But yeah, so, you know, you don't tend to go to MMO pickup groups to meet new people specifically. That's more of a role for guilds, I suppose. That's more of a socializer thing, standing around the bank chatting and just mouthing off in OOC. That's how you meet new people. But when you join a pickup group, you have a very fixed objective, and the ideal and optimum way to proceed to that objective is in silence and with total competency.
Pickup grouping is effectively like speed dating in a firefight.
Speed dating in a gunfight. I like it. Good analogy, yeah. I've written anonymity here. Yeah, you know, you're never going to see these people again. What does it matter what they think of you?
Like I say, speed dating in a firefight.
Actually, I'm starting to see it, yeah. The whole pickup grouping does sort of work like speed dating, doesn't it? Drives people away, I've written. Now, this sort of ties in with the idiots thing. I mean, you read enough blogs, and even if you've never really had a horrific pickup group yourself, if you keep seeing people reading, you keep seeing people writing about awful, awful pickup groups and how everyone except me on this server is an idiot, you're going to go away thinking, perhaps I don't want to pickup group. Mm. You know, it's a sort of self-reinforcing spiral, which can be a problem. Okay, so let's move on to my third category then.
Hang on a second, I need more cough medicine. That's better.
Saying nothing. So I got static group written here. Now this is, I've distinguished this from the pickup group, even though it is essentially six people in a group fighting a game together. Static group, we're talking basically six people who will continually keep grouping together week in, week out for the same game, and will generally try and keep level with each other. They'll try and schedule ahead of time what we're going to be doing, this kind of thing. Group of friends, you know, working as in a six-man team or four-man or whatever.
Oh, you have to be friends.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this can be people who know each other in real life, or we're talking online acquaintances from other games. I mean, typically it's the sort of thing that will be sorted out and arranged right at the start of an MMO. It's quite unlikely that six people will coincidentally all have characters at the same level in the same game. So it becomes a very quite a premeditated thing. I've written another kind of night out here. It's a sort of virtual pub.
It is.
Like going bowling as opposed to speed dating. You know?
Yes. Because you can't mix the two. If you speed date while bowling, you're going to lose track of your
score. If it's in a firefight, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is, a cheap alternative to going to the pub, particularly for all the members of the group live in quite distant locations. It's not always easy to get to the same pub and meet up and exchange tall tales about, well, gaming generally, but... So it's another kind of... It's a lot more social, and it varies by static group, of course. Some static groups may be quite goal-driven and quite focused and quite wanting to get the game stuff done, but many static groups are just there to hang out with each other, and it's just to have a thing to do. It's
if
like
you are
bowling.
Goal-based and really at it, it doesn't last that long, because there's this feeling in the back of your brain always going, we're going to burn through this content, we're going to burn through this content.
Mm, mm.
That may just be me.
Whereas I, on the other hand, don't much care what we do at the given Lotron, as long as we're in there doing it together, you know?
Well, yeah, I don't want to go... I wouldn't want to be hitting every week burning through the content.
No, exactly. And, yeah, this, the game itself almost becomes coincidental as opposed to the group itself. I'm playing in a number of these sorts of groups during the week, and it's all good fun. I've written friendship over loot, mostly in brackets. See, yes, again, it ties to the goal orientation or versus the social orientation. I mean, a static group is more likely to just turf over the goods if they're plainly for another class that you're not, whereas a pickup group, you're just going to greed everything and sell it on the auction house. Depends. I mean, individual personalities may differ, of course, but... planned division of labour, classes. Oh God, now what am I writing here? Some sort of communist manifesto. This is more about the premeditation of it all. We'll use the Lotro static group as an example. We all decided we're going to be playing Lotro as a static group. So instantly that then says that we're going to need this, and this class. And between us...
Did we actually agree what we're going to do, or did we all sort of
it
just...
It sort of fell into it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'd have played a Guardian by choice if it was soloing. I'd have gone for something a bit more exotic.
Well, I picked a minstrel because I thought, I'll do the healer, that'll be fun.
Well, no, precisely, I'll do the healer. You recognised that the group needed a healer and you stepped up for the role. So I did something similar with the tank and the others did similar things as well, more DPS, etc.
And then we made map changes.
Yeah, yeah, but then that's another example of how a static group works better than a pickup group. Now, the situation is a hypothetical Lotro group has a tank that can't hold his aggro and a captain that keeps stealing it. Now, if that were
and can't control his
his AI pet,
yeah,
keeps training everything. Now, if that were a pickup group, that would have been an explosive dismantling, and those people would never have played together again. But in a static group, well, the captain kindly rolled a runekeeper instead, as it turned out, which has other problems, but I didn't want to make him re-roll the third time. So, but what I mean here is that knowing that you're going to be this fixed group and a fixed unit of players all the way along, you see it as a longer task and a more worthy of putting more planning and preparation into. And so you will divide out what needs doing.
It certainly affects my traits, because I am really traited to be a group healer, not a soloer.
Yeah, that's a more subtle version of the same thing. Yeah, in the same way I've basically traited myself out to be a group tank, even though I solo now and then and have a pretty suboptimal solo build. And you probably have similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be doing a lot better if I had
much of my approach to the game is based on what does the group need rather than what do I need. And so this is a really good example of how a static group can differ from a pickup group. Let's see, I've got Sea Also 2. What? the same reasons that are cons in pickup grouping can become pluses in static groups. They're sort of opposites in a way. I've also written longer narrative journey cohesion. I suppose this mostly applies to games where there is a narrative that you're following. Again, I'm using
most games do actually have a narrative. Yeah, even WoW has a narrative
of sorts. Yeah, it's not quite as concrete, but you do work your way up through the different places. Yeah, and doing that together as a group, well, that becomes a much stronger sort of story because it's your group going through the Fellowship. You know, it's literally Lord of the Rings. Whereas if you're sort of mixing and matching and swapping with, to paraphrase Fight Club, single-serving friends all the way up, it's mostly about you and a sort of random and often perhaps, suspension of disbelief-breaking group of mercenaries, a massive pool of which you draw from now and then. So it can enhance the story to go through it as a group. So examples, Lotro group, talked about that lots. Any from Pug bit? What? Pickup group bit. Oh yeah, well, exactly the same reasons that mean that pickup grouping can be a problem can be ameliorated by being in a static group. Okay, so cons. I've got downsides. Yes, it might sound like I'm just gushing about static groups.
You are.
But there are downsides. So I've written here level pacts, different paces/times. So if you have six people in a traditional MMO, all wanting to work through together, what happens when a guy misses a week or 2 weeks, or, as is the case at the moment, one of our members is away for quite a few weeks now?
Yes, they have to go to a purgatory of power levelling when they get back. The game could offer a reasonable sidekicking system, please, Turbine.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are particular... I mean, I'm sort of reminded of City of Heroes' level pact system. It isn't actually called that. And right at the start, you and one other character declare this level pact. And you basically share the same XP bar. You need twice as much.
I remember that Matt and John from Limited Edition did this when they started doing it. And they agreed to both level up at the same rate. And then Matt kicked John after he didn't log in for weeks.
Yeah, but conversely, my villain, I was packed it up with Bevis there, and it worked quite well. Some weeks I wasn't able to be there, some weeks he wasn't, and we still kept the same progress going. Now, I mean, I've yet to see an MMO that offers that on a party-wide basis, and I think that perhaps could be quite problematic even if they did. But the basic problem here is that, yes, you've really got, and it does take an effort of will to make sure that you stay level with your mates, particularly if some of you are more interested in the game than the others.
Yeah.
Because some of them will want to be soloing in their spare time, and that's just going to push them ahead and ahead and ahead. So I've written missed weeks here. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the levelling aside, if you're all working through a staged set of narrative content together and somebody isn't there a week, what do you do?
I don't know. What did you do this week while I was ill?
We went on with the narrative story, actually, to be fair, but it is all soloable, yeah. So I expect you'll catch up. But no, I mean, what do? You have to sit... do you not do it? Or do you have to do it twice, once properly, and then again when missing person's back for that week? It becomes quite tricky in terms of logistics to keep a static group together, and it is quite an effort, and there are downsides to it all. I've written, static implosion has knock-on effects, exclamation mark. Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, MMOs are not free of drama in any aspect. And in a static group, if you have a falling out over the uber sort of uberness, that's going to cause a considerable amount more damage than if a pickup group, someone ninja'd it.
Because
you've got real friendships on the line. And, you know, I'd hope that most static group real friendships are above such petty concerns. But, you know, these sorts of things can...
I'm not convinced anyone in our static group cares about any sword that much.
Well, it depends, but... So, well, it could be something more serious. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what, but the cohesion of this six man group, if something goes seriously wrong, or if you have a falling out in real life, that can break the group as well. It becomes a much
what
a
Matt Luke's Amy, that sort of thing.
I hope you're going to edit that. There's a lot more at stake in a static group when drama enters the fray, and that can be a problem. Also, I've written here, why not play co-op console? I suppose this is a more recent thing.
This is because you've been playing Borderlands with everyone, isn't
I think
it?
Borderlands was the inspiration for this particular point. But yes, again, I mean, the overall question is, why are you in an MMO? Why are you playing an MMO? And in a static group's case, the question becomes, why are you not playing co-op LAN or on a console network game or whatever? There are many games that support six-player co-op, but no more. Why do you need to be in an MMO if you're only ever going to play with those six people over and over and over? And I honestly don't have an answer for that.
Neither do I.
Yeah, but so, you know, I mean, the static group is I think static groups are preferable to pickup groups, but there are downsides. You know, it can be a bit insular, a little incestuous at times. You're not getting out and meeting new people particularly because you're always playing with the same people. So, yeah. All right, so on to number four then. I've got Guild written here. So the Guild, this is your traditional non-persistent but not necessarily always playing together larger social group, I suppose, social grouping. Everyone knows what a Guild is, what am I explaining? This is not... Yeah, this changes... This perhaps isn't the same sort of thing in gameplay as a group because, yeah, you rarely find content designed for guilds to accomplish together, or at least not in the sense that you're all in one place pushing at one monster at the same time. Because how do you design content that can cater for six people or
Galaxies
40?
Always wanted the cities to be guild content.
Yeah. I mean, EVE Online clearly is a very guild
content
game.
EVE is definitely a guild content game.
Yeah, but within that, there's a lot of... I mean, EverQuest 2 has a lot of guild writs, which are sort of tasks that you work on as a guild to get done. But within that, the functional sub-blocks of it are generally solo activities. There'll be things like, as a guild, you need to craft X hundred of these. And, you know, a couple of people will go away, do some now and then, etc. Same with EVE, you know. I mean, okay, the fleet battles perhaps are different, but, you know, you'll need to mobilise everyone. But often it's hard to find particular content aimed at the guild, no matter how big. Hmm. And that would be a real challenge of scaling. Do correct me if I'm wrong. Perhaps I've missed some. What have I written here? Large pool of potential groups, reputation/responsibility, pugs. Yeah, so if you're pickup grouping but from within a guild, you then that sort of dispels a large number of the problems with anonymity and antisocial behaviour and etc. Because you have a reputation and a responsibility. And if word get back to the guild leader that everyone hates how you operate in groups, you may get kicked. So yeah. There are repercussions. You suddenly have an extra layer of responsibility, which can...
It does stop that sword stealing.
Yeah, it encourages people to be a bit more polite to each other, a bit more pleasant, because these are people you not necessarily going to work with all the time, but will definitely see
again.
But
it's perceived you all are working towards the same goal, which is whatever the goal is.
Yeah, that very much depends on what the game itself provides in that regard.
Now, even if the goal is the end game.
End game raiding, yeah.
Or typically just getting through the levels or whatever.
Hmm.
The guild just... That is the focus.
Yeah, it's a good way to organise tasks that you're not going to get done in one night. Things like the end game raids. You need like 24 people who will need to take a number of weeks having a go at this thing until you work out how to do it and get it right. So the guild is the ideal mechanism to support that. I've written support skills, advice / crafting. So if you've got this, you wouldn't, I don't know, I mean, perhaps you would just ask on random OOC chat, can anyone spare me X planks of lumber? Or
I would never dream of it. That's far too crass.
You probably won't get very far, and you'll probably get quite a bit of abuse for your time and trouble. But within a guild, it's different, because there is a sense of community. You're sort of all on the same side, I suppose. So guilds can be a good place to ask other people about, you know, more veteran players on how the game works without getting ridiculed so particularly.
Yeah.
Same with crafting advice, or, you know, can somebody make me this? And in the guild, there'll be a number of different people who like the crafting and have picked different ways to go with it. So the guild provides an excellent support network, if nothing else. I've written chat atmosphere, even solo.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the difference between random OOC chat, where often it's about chest beating and who can say the most rude thing wins. Whereas in a guild, yeah, again, you're all on the same side, perhaps versus everyone else who isn't in your guild. And you're likely to generally find a much healthier atmosphere within the guild, just for chatting and common interests and so on. I mean, that can be hit and miss. It can take a few guilds to find the one that suits you, that's full of people who are like you, you know. I mean, but that's all part of the process. I've written auto-guild here, War/Eve. This is... I think this subverts the whole thing a little bit. This is a very specific thing. With EVE Online, definitely from way back when, you cannot not be in a guild in EVE Online.
No, there is absolutely no facility to not be in a guild.
Yeah, so when you join, when you create a new character, you're automatically placed in one of about 12, 16 brand new newbie guilds. And Warhammer Online, I don't know when they added this, but certainly I've seen lately, is that as soon as you hit Chapter 2 on the first bit of the first land, you're automatically joined into your side's newbie guild. And that's, I think that shares a lot of the problems with just random OOC chat, in the nobody asked to be there, nobody particularly wanted to be there, it just happened. They don't feel, there's no real investment. I don't know I mean, perhaps you could tell us a bit more about how the atmosphere is in an EVE newbie corp versus a proper corp. I don't really remember.
EVE newbie corps are an awful lot of people chatting.
Yeah.
Generally asking stupid questions, sometimes being quite interesting.
Yeah. So,
not a lot constructive gets done.
It's not a proper guild in the conventional sense. It's more a
it's a
side chat room, but with a moderator generally. Yeah, I mean, in Warhammer, there are channel mods who are presumably paid Mythic employees who sort of monitor and keep the tone a little bit polite.
But I assume they're modded in EVE, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm not sure the auto guild. I think joining a guild is definitely an act of volition. It's something you need to seek out for yourself based on criteria that you set. Because then, if those criteria are matched, you'll find a bunch of people who are like you and who you will probably like. Whereas just being randomly assigned to a newbie guild, I don't think that's very much different from just staying in the normal OOC channels.
No, but it does make a statement.
It suggests that you ought to be in a guild, yeah. I mean, it's interesting even in EVE that if you leave a proper guild, you get dumped back to the newbie guild again. You cannot not be in a guild. I think Warhammer, you can... One of the first questions that anyone asks in that channel is, how do I leave this guild? And yeah, that's a common one. Okay, examples. Tuesday Noob Club. Yeah, I mean...
them.
Yay. This is our little Guild Wars thing. Experiences of guilds. I seem to have basically found a guild I like by making it, so it's one way to go about it. We tend to... I think mostly the guild exists because it's there, and we're all static pickup grouping. Well, not pickup grouping, static grouping for actual gameplay. Although we have more people than one group will hold, so yes.
So each time you play, it's like the beginning of Mission Impossible, where he's got the folders laid out in front of him and he's picking.
It's not that harsh, it's first come first.
Do so. I want Leonard Nimoy or do I want you?
Yeah. We've got a couple of people in the guild who do their own solo thing. I mean, some people who joined us who can't actually make Tuesdays, which is a bit difficult for them, but they seem to still be in the guild and seem quite happy with the general. The general thing of it all. As a guild leader, I just try and make sure we got something interesting to do each week. There's no real greater agenda or plan than that. DDO is, yeah, we've got guild in there as well. Again, it's more of the static group, but we have too many people to fit in one group. So the guild makes a good catch-all mechanism for organising that, I suppose. If we get two groups going, if we've got enough people, and we'll be using guild chat to banter back and forth as it goes. So it's also a good way of keeping in touch, keeping track of people if you've got more than this arbitrary number your game has set as a maximum group size. I've written raiding question mark, because I've never done it and know nothing almost about it. But the guild is a good mechanism for getting stuff done at that end.
It's not. I mean, pushing us into raiding in Lakeville for ages, and you've been constantly saying no.
Oh, well, once we get 12 people, then we'll ask again.
Okay, that's the minor problem. If you only have
well, I'm leaving
people.
That to the guild leader, which is you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I've written... Okay, so let's have a look at the downsides of the guild then. Not direct game unit, still groups slash solo. Yeah, very few games... It's the guild that's doing the stuff. It's the guild is an overbranching thing that will contain many people who like social gameplay and will group, and quite a few people who don't and will solo a lot. I mean, sure, every guild's got that guy who always solos and never groups with anyone else but doesn't want to leave for some reason. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but the guild itself doesn't directly contribute to playing together, I suppose, in that sense. I've written lack of guild-specific content here. Yeah, I've covered that fairly extensively. It's hard to scale an encounter to be suitable for 2 players or 200, though. How do you do that? It's almost impossible. I mean, City Heroes, I suppose, probably stands the closest chance due to the flexibility of how their numbers work. But then I suppose EVE Online as well wins quite heavily on that because you make your own goals in there, and it's a...
If you've got 2 people, the 200 people are going to kill you. Therefore, it gravitates to 200 people, and then the 400 people are going to kill you. And so it just gravitates up till server max.
And I've written guild drama here. We can't talk about guilds without talking about guild drama.
Oh, yes.
Now, I mean, because of the persistent nature of guilds, even more so than the static group. And the static group is generally going to be made of people who generally get along anyway because they're friends prior to the group forming. Whereas the guild... is a persistent group yet made up of strangers initially, and the jockeying and the psychology of it all as new people find their feet socially within that space and start asserting themselves and becoming their personality and stuff can be quite disruptive and destructive in a lot of cases. I mean, second only to tales of harrowing pickup groups are tales of exploding guilds, you know.
Yeah, but also guilds tend to develop static groups inside them of people who know cliques, they like each other and get on, and so sort of gravitate together in the corner of the playground.
But then other people within that guild may find that they resent that they're not being included in that little group. I mean, it is all playground psychology, really.
This is why I decided never to be a guild leader ever again.
Despite having been 2 at least in your time.
Yeah.
Okay.
3, actually, because of the low track one.
Uh-huh. So, all right, let's talk about that section 5, then. I've written massive here.
Section 5's the... I won't get into Star Trek reference.
So, massive, right, this is the idea that literally, massively multiplayer. We're talking hundreds of people all doing a
thousands.
Thing together. Thousands, even. The whole server, the community as a single large entity. Okay. I have to come to example. I think I'll do the examples for this first, just so people know what I'm talking about, actually. Right, I've written EVE Fleet Battles.
Yep.
Not always. I mean, I don't know if you'd count an alliance as a guild or as a massive.
An alliance is a guild of guilds.
Guild of guilds, yeah. And other games have similar kinds of groupings as well. But, you know, large-scale EVE fleet battles can involve combatants from many different alliances, many guilds. They're, you know, so just a big old scrum in some of the outer regions. I've never participated or seen any of that kind of thing myself. But and this truly, I think, is the expression of massively multiplayer. This is the only real one. Everything else is just small groups of people in a park playing frisbee with lots of other people out walking dogs, you know? Whereas this is where everyone's involved, everyone's a participant.
And one universe, X number of star systems, everyone wants a star system or 100.
Yep. I've written Planetside as well. Again, everyone playing Planetside is one of 3 teams that are all trying to kill each other. And that's all the time. There is no PvE content.
That's exploration.
that's a joke, I'm sure. I've written COH Giant Monsters. City of Heroes, occasionally, particularly during seasonal events, they'll spawn these giant monsters, which are immensely powerful creatures that need dozens of people, well, typically 20-odd people to take down in any kind of reasonable time span. And it's all done with very clever technical number jiggery pokery, but basically everyone does... It all becomes percentages, so the more people... It's like the more people that turn up, the slightly better chance you have of killing it, but it seems to scale to fit however many people are around anyway. You can just about do it with 10 people, but the more the better, you know. And that really is, any, you know, a shout will go up in a zone and the whole zone will congregate on that spot, usually on the promise of a special badge for killing it. But everyone suddenly in that area is all pitching in to help and fight that monster. And same with zombie invasions or Rikti attacks. They do a lot of this stuff. It's sort of automated events, but events which involve everyone in the zone. And suddenly, for, you know, a brief spell, 5 minutes or however long, everyone is playing the same, is playing together in the very literal sense. That is a massively multiplayer situation. Yeah, server events I've written. WoW Gates of Anrak. This would be the... Yeah, there was an event not so long ago when they added a dungeon. Well, that's a fair while back now, actually. About when I still played, so we're talking 3 years plus. Where the entire server was required to pitch in and collect resources to hand in to a bunch of guys, and when this massive totals had been hit, then the new added content would suddenly unlock and become available.
You've got to pay for it twice.
yeah, money and blood, sweat. No, I think it's a free update, but yeah, you still have to do quite a bit of grinding. And yeah, I mean, it was adopted with varying degrees of enthusiasm, but ultimately everyone on the server was working towards a single goal. Well, two goals. There was a total for an Horde and Alliance. So what we're looking here then is a situation where everyone is pitching in. Everyone is all working together at a single identifiable very large objective, and that doesn't tend to happen as much as you'd think in MMOs. It's not a common occurrence. But when it does, it can suddenly transform a big old world of soloers and small groups into something a lot more united and, yeah, community-driven, I suppose. I've written strength and safety in numbers. I suppose this is... I was probably thinking Eve in this regard.
Oh, yeah.
but also, yeah, planet size is another example. Of, you know, bring more dudes if you want to win. That kind of situation. Yeah, okay, you get the sort of Zerg thing going on, but... It's still great to be part of a large force moving in the same direction as opposed to one man facing the oncoming horde, you know. Concrete community actually matters. Concrete? Basically, yeah, this is the idea that these aren't all strangers who happen to be co-inhabiting the same space as you. This is, all of these people are on your side. We're all doing a thing together. We're all working at a thing, you know. And yeah, again, is that not... I've written underneath in finger quotes, true massively multiplayer. I mean, can any other mode of social interaction in an MMO be really described, isn't it, as massively multiplayer? If we're going to get all literal about it, all literary terms.
For a proper massively multiplayer thing, you all have to be doing the same thing.
All of you. Yeah. All X thousand people on your server, and ideally not even have servers.
Yeah.
It all needs to be the same. I mean, Eve probably comes the closest in that regard, but... You know, everyone's still out for themselves as well.
Oh, no. Look, the out for yourselves thing is different from the solo thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Eve...
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean the entire server is all in one big party kicking a monster in the head. You can be... The entire server is engaged in the activity, whether that's as opponents
Because of the economy in Eve, even the solo people, they may not know it, but they are contributing that when they sell minerals, somebody buys it, builds stuff.
An excellent example of the circle completing. Really. Yeah. Okay, so the example's there. Warhammer Open RVR, that's an interesting experience. You basically just turn up, everyone on one side is on the same team, even if they're war banded up or whatever. I mean, I generally join pickup war bands, which is just 24 players who've got a shared chat channel and can see each other on the minimap. But generally, yeah, it is just a massive scrum and a massive free-for-all. And everyone in that area is participating in the activity, together or against each other. Done planet side, Eve fleet battles, yeah, giant monsters. Server events, yeah. Okay, so what's the downsides of this then? Let's see. We've got lack of individual heroism, I've written here. Something I found in Planetside is that it's a great game for little war stories, but there's very few where I killed 100 guys and I saved the day, because it's, you know, you're part of an army. But then in a real army, do many people yearn for the individual moments of heroism?
There are very few, I believe, in a real army.
And probably discouraged.
You are a team, you are a group, you go together, you do your thing. You do not run off on your own with your guns blazing, saying, "Don't worry, I'll get him, Gov."
Yeah, join up, get out of basic training, get on your first tour. Right, Victoria Cross there. No, it doesn't really work like that. I've written Zerg. This is in the general sense rather than specifically StarCraft. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people heap scorn on the Zerg combat of large-scale PvP, large-scale. I mean, Eve Fleet Battle, do you matter, or are you just eight more high slots? You know, if the battle is... It doesn't matter how skillful you are in, say, Warhammer Online, OpenRVR, New Emsprank. Individually, if you're massively skilled, you can take two or three people out. But, you know, if they bring enough guys, you've got no hope.
It's exactly the same with war.
Mm, and that happened...
War.
Yeah, that happened in Planetside a lot as well. You know, it doesn't matter how good I am with a sniper rifle. If there's 30 of them coming at me, I'm finished.
Yeah.
You know? So that can be quite dispiriting and put people off a bit. I've written technical here, point loading. Very few MMOs are truly massive in the sense that if you all suddenly organised and spontaneously all went to the same place.
If all 50-odd thousand people who log into EVE at once logged into EVE at once, that wouldn't work.
Or if they all went to the same starbase at Jita.
Yeah, they all went to Jita. It wouldn't let them.
I mean, EVE's quite clever with its server distributions and loading stuff, but even so, that probably
you can't all turn up in the same place.
No MMO is capable of hosting its entire player base in one spot at the same time. And very few people play. Few people's PCs could cope with it either.
Well,
you slam into the lag wall, it all gets
if you
juggly.
Take Warcraft, take the old number of 10 million.
Mm. Yeah.
No chance. You can't get them all in the same place because it's X bazillion servers spread out throughout the time zones.
Well, it's a reason servers exist, and typically, I remember, I'm pretty sure, sir, the average server split game has an optimum number of players per server. I remember seeing that EverQuest back in the day used to list, before they decided to hide it under this low, medium and high nonsense, they used to, a typical high server was about 1,800 people.
It's probably up to about 5,000 now.
I remember seeing somewhere, and I couldn't back this up with any kind of fact, that World of Warcraft suggests around 3,200. I don't know where that number came from, but it seems realistic per server. Our LOTRO guild can take 1,500 members.
Yay!
I think that's more of an oversight.
Wow.
Ran out of things to give you each time it breaks up.
This is a direct request to Turbine. You know those guild things which tick over again and again and again?
Every month
and again.
You get something
just
new.
Give up adding new people to the guild.
Yeah, but so, I mean, for technical reasons, it's very, very difficult to include everyone playing in some meaningful activity in the same place at the same time. And so there's always going to be subtle game
reasons. But if you look at life and the world,
yes,
it's very difficult to make everyone in the country be involved in one thing at the same time.
Yeah, oh yeah. X Factor, maybe. But that's
but that's not being involved in. That's observing.
Well, yeah.
That's the equivalent of having EVE TV running.
So perhaps there's one I've missed then, is that there's a certain social aversion to... Well, yeah, let's call it agoraphobia. Do you actually want to be playing with all 3,000 other people on your server at the same time? Or would you like a little bit of space and a little bit of room to be able to talk to individual people, etc., form actual friendships? So I wonder, when people complain about massive games not being massive enough, do they mean it? Have they thought this through? I don't know. I've written imbalance here as well. This is brackets PvP. I mean, a good way to include everyone in an MMO on the same activity is to make it a big old PvP scrum. But what happens if you've got two sides? Say, let's, for example, use Order and Destruction in Warhammer Online as an example. What happens if you've got four times as many Destruction players as Order players, who are constantly all being beaten every week? Do they give up? Do they switch over the other side? How do you regulate that? I mean, if you've...
Enforced changings.
Well, yeah. I mean, you obviously, if you're any kind of clever, you'll try and make one side not obviously more cooler than the other. But sometimes it can inadvertently happen. For a long time in World of Warcraft, it was generally Alliance because they were just prettier characters. That's more or less the reason Blood Elves turned up and were Horde. It's to try and, you know, encourage some of the more superficial players to try the other side, you know, balance it up a bit. I don't know if it worked. I don't know if that really was the case, but it's certainly feasible. So if you're... And if the, in the case of the massive game, the one where everyone is actually all there helping at once, that becomes a really difficult and overbalanced problem, which is why a lot of PvP tends to be instanced. A lot of PvP can be small fights or duels, because that's just much easier to do, and you always know you're going to have the same number of people on each side. Yeah, so I've run out of notes.
Okay.
So, yes, lots. So there's many different ways to play an MMO. There's the sort of social thing. It's not as simple as, oh, you solos are in our game, you shouldn't be. You should go off and play Peggle or whatever. It's a very many gradiented and subtle thing. And also, quite interestingly, no, I don't believe anyone is a soloer. I think people solo sometimes, people group sometimes, people join big guilds and go on massive fleet battles sometimes. And I think... there's a flexibility, and that it's probably not helpful to pigeonhole people into one particular type of gameplay. I'm in a number of static groups. I join the occasional pickup group. I'm in a few guilds, and I do solo now and then. And it's very much about how you're feeling at the time. Do you want to be, are you in the mood for a big social night out, or you just want to be alone and kick a few balls in the head? You know, have you got time? There are many, many reasons why all of these sorts of gameplay should be available for all players, I think.
I agree. Do you want me to sum up with my description as to why those
so
guys...
So what we learned here today.
No, those guys at the beginning, reason why I truly believe
so
they are wrong.
So answering the question, why are you in an MMO if you're only soloing?
No, it's more to do with the why these things are being added.
Oh, well, increased functionality and mechanics which allow people to have a choice.
If you look at Lord of the Rings, they're adding a mechanic there to boost people if they're in a smaller group size, because their originally designed content was for 6 players.
Ah, so we're not talking about skirmishes here, we're talking about the rework
of Volume 1. We're talking about the rework of Volume 1, right, which is exactly the same problem. They're just dealing it by buffing players. Now, I honestly believe that we have no right to tell any other player how to play a game.
That's a fair assumption.
If you're a grouper and somebody wants to play a game solo, it's up to them. They want to do this. And if you're a solo player and somebody else wants to play a game grouped, it's up to them. You have no right to stop them doing it. When it comes down to the big problem, which LOTRO have got with the books, it's that they're designed for 6 players, but an awful lot of people don't want a 6-player group. They can't get the group together, they don't want to get the group together, and so they're actually having to make the decision to design the later books for less people, which is hurting the experience for us.
I think I found myself strangely and almost hypocritically annoyed that there was so much solo content in the more recent book.
But the only reason they're doing it is because people want to play in smaller groups or without groups, because groups can be a pain.
I think World of Warcraft's existence is a testament to that kind of sentiment. A massive amount of its early popularity was because it was solo friendly, in a market where nothing else was.
What I think the adding of soldiers, the adding of NPC players the new Star Wars game and the Star Trek game, those are good things because they maintain the ability for us to have grouped content. Without these mechanisms, stuff which needs a group in big ongoing plot type ways or whatever are going to go away. They cannot survive.
Yeah, I think there's a sort of strange, sort of trying to work out how to best describe it. I think a solo player who can't find a group can just get on and solo. A group player who can't find a group,
exactly,
is forced to solo or leave. So, you know, I think the solo is always going to be the point of lowest common denominator, not in a derogatory sense, but that.
It's always the point of easiness.
Whatever's going on, you can always solo.
Yeah.
Even if there's no one else to group with, you can solo.
And there are legitimate reasons to solo. If you're working the night shift on a game which has a European-American split, there may not be no one to play with.
Yeah. Also, I'm thinking MMOs in later stages of their life, where the new shiny was years ago.
Exactly.
Someone coming to that for the first time.
Going back trying to do the first couple of books, there just isn't going to be the content to do them as a group all the time.
Yeah, I think this is precisely the reason they're doing that rework, is because, Volume 1 of The Shadows of Angmar, of LOTRO, is quite old and busted now, and there's not vast numbers of people all working through it together, so the group pool isn't there.
And a lot of the people who are coming up are alts who have done it on another character and don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
And so what people are complaining about is actually what's going to save their group content in the long run.
It is vital. There, yeah.
Yeah, it is vital for it to exist. And that, dear people on the original list, is why I believe you are wrong.
Now, I think for groups to form, you need people playing at all.
Yeah.
So if you can't find a group and you don't want a solo, you're going to leave the game.
Yeah.
But if you can't find a group and you don't mind soloing, you can solo for a bit and try looking for a group again. But as long as there are still people playing, then at least there is the potential for groups to form. If no one's playing, then the game might as well not be there and you might as well be offline.
And especially in the case in Star Wars, what I think is going to happen is you're going to get a certain pickup group type mentality where you just rush through the stories, and an awful lot of people are going to want to savour those stories and are going to want to run them slowly and read all the text. Listen to all the voices,
a lot of voice acting, all that.
And savour it, and I don't think in a pickup group that's going to work that well.
Well, it's quite telling, right? Okay, Guild Wars, you're playing through your story, it has cutscenes.
Yeah.
You get to a certain point in the mission, it will go into cutscene mode. You have a skip button. And at the top, it tells you X players out of X want to skip this cutscene. And every time someone pushes that button, that number goes up. So in a pickup group, that number is almost always 7 out of 8 before I've managed to reach the button. In a static group or, you know, Tuesday New Club or whatever, often it's 1 or 2 out of 8, or sometimes it won't even flash up at all because everyone's quite happy just to sit there and read and watch because we might be aware that someone hasn't seen this bit yet. So I think that sort of sums up the sort of the quest text thing. Yeah, yeah. You can't pick up group your way through content and still absorb it and take it in your own pace. It's a sort of snowball thing.
Play the game how you want to. Enjoy yourselves.
Don't worry about other people's fun.
Do not worry about whether or not other people are having more fun or less fun than you. Just enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. Excellent. So, there we go. Do you want to do a Twitter question?
We could do a Twitter question.
I did do it, but we sort of... A bit late on the...
It's no later than usual.
Yeah, fair enough.
There you go.
Right, so...
It just happens to be Thursday night instead of Sunday afternoon. Yes.
Very live kind of podcast, this. Podcast question. The Saboteur comes with free DLC in the box to enable nudity. What DLC boobies would you like to see in games? This was your idea, wasn't it? I haven't got the Saboteur yet. Anyway, Copperbird says, I'd love some WoW DLC to put more clothes on the succubus. Fair enough.
I think in a lot of these games, DLC to actually clothe certain characters is a good
novel
thing.
It's novel, yeah. I think it'd sell. I think that's the market there. No succubus, please, we're British. Dr. Torag, seriously, modding tools, flippantly, proper British spelling DLC, adding the use necessary to prevent my headache.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Uber Sandman, I think Burnout Paradise set the bar pretty high for DLC. I can't think of any better. Yeah, they've done a very good job. I still haven't got the big Surf Island thing yet, but I'm saving that. I'll come back to that, I think, at some point. Probably around Burnout 9 or something. Fallout 3 comes close to doing pretty cool DLC along with a bit of a hack.
Although, I don't know what the hack was.
No, I don't know. No, I've heard good things about some of them there.
It's some very good stuff there.
I've not got any of those either. As you can tell, I'm not really big on DLC myself, but... Eric's Chur, I guess the usual extra levels, areas, new mobs, etc. Yeah, that's all good stuff. Usually you expect a whole new island with any DLC you get for anything these days, don't you?
Even if it's set in a desert.
Ackley, I'm all for nudity, but I must say new content that allows me to diversify the game is played. More sandbox. There we go.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah. Blue K, I'd say nudity pretty much covers it. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, nudity covers it.
That's very clever.
There we go. In Eve, cash for content would be divisive. Maybe Alliance Corp logos, free at the moment but slow to process. So what, charge a fee and actually hire a graphic designer to get them through a bit quicker?
It's possible, yeah. Or just a fee to make them go through the list.
God, can you imagine the uproar if they added a cash shop to Eve?
There is a cash shop in Eve.
Oh, I suppose, well, your time cards, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. That's all a bit more subtle, I suppose. Zozo, I'd very much like to see a game that implemented nudity via DLC. Burnout Paradise, preferably.
Well, the problem with that is it's going to either be the poor guy in the racing car, in which case his helmet comes off, or the poor people on bikes.
I think it's going to be cars, isn't it? You can download a patch that will take the body panels off.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
You see the engine and the chassis and everything.
Look at the chassis on that.
Tiger Ears, free chocolate DLC would be nifty. Yeah, good stuff.
Can't be that.
Just cram it down the modem there. Brianlin, new levels or zones are always great to see. Yeah, when you get to that point when you think you've finished a game, you'd like to play it a bit more. DLC is often quite welcome.
It's more Borderlands coming in a week or so.
What, another one?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I probably ought to buy some of it, of anything. I might have to come back to this as a topic at some point. Why doesn't Tim do DLC? Sentak, I want to see DLC that allows people to use a console game for making machinima.
Well, if you look at it, though, Halo 3 already has that built in, and I believe Uncharted 2 does as well.
Halo 3 probably got it because of Red versus Blue.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but have you seen Red versus Blue? If anyone listening doesn't know what that is, it's basically just a little sort of web cartoon made entirely using Halo multiplayer engine. And they've done that just with the basic game.
They started without any tools, and now there's extra stuff to do it where you can control camera angles.
Yeah, people
at
Bungie were so impressed, they've added that kind of thing to the
And Uncharted 2, I believe, even has the ability to lip sync.
Blimey. Yeah. That's quite, I mean, yeah, Half-Life 2 was used to do all the inside ship stuff on Clear Skies,
yeah.
which itself was done with Eve, yeah. So, I mean, you can be quite innovative with just videoing the telly, really.
Yeah.
Well, clipping it together, whatever.
You don't quite video that.
I'm bluffing. let's see. Nerulus, new follower there. What else would someone want besides nudity? What are you, high? Yes, high on life, generally. Plus, I tend to have quite outdated Victorian values as well, so I tend to faint at the sight of an ankle, really. So, and I think that's about it. Have we missed any more there?
Hello, we got
started
to
rambling about other stuff at that point.
We've got to a couple of days ago, so yeah, I think that's it. Yeah,
excellent, good one there. Lots of interesting ideas. So what DLC would you want to see?
Well, the DLC
you haven't already got.
Oh, I haven't thought about this at all.
I got you on the spot.
I would like to see a bit more Burnout, actually.
I'd like to see a Cary Grant-style outfit for Saints Row 2.
I'm pretty sure.
It might already be in
there.
There's
probably one in there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Considering I've got an alien head at the moment.
Excellent. Right, now we've got an audio clip from Kutznik, leader of the Critically Mass DDO Guild and member of one of our friends on the Friday night. He's got a little bit something to say about DDO.
Hey, this is Kudesnik checking in. Just want to have some comments on one of the shows about the clicking of Dungeons & Dragons. I think you may be right saying that you possibly have to experience some paid content. There is better storylines and continuation from quest to quest in some paid content, for example, World of Night or Veil of Twilight, more than in the free content, because Turbine, I think, slashed it the way the all quests which were non-related to any story or let's say just standalone, that's what went to the free-to-play. Any storylines actually was combined into the adventure packs, and they were selling that way. So try to, as you level up, try to get to one of these storylines and see if that will help. That's it. That is all. Bye.
So what have you learnt this week?
I've learnt that it is high time to do another music show because Top Gear was playing music for Gears of War.
Top Gear. Oh, we've got the whiteboard.
No, we're doing the whiteboard.
All right.
We can do the whiteboard if you want.
No, let's not do the whiteboard. We'll do the whiteboard another time when I've had a chance to think about my response to the blatant abuse that's on there at the moment.
So, yes.
And I've learned that you have an incredibly feeble constitution and can jeopardise the entire podcast at the slightest bit of influenza or cold or whatever the hell
it was. Space plague.
All right, I'll lay off.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see you later for
The next show. Yes, next
show. News and we're on a Thursday and it's totally thrown me.
This is the last.
I'm all wrong.
On top of that, this is the last topic show until next year.
Right.
Until second week of January.
We should be doing lots of traditional Christmassy things.
We got what we're playing and we got the end of the year roundup show.
I'll make some volibons. See you next time.
Goodbye.